Well, good morning, everybody. I'm just glad to be here again, ain't you? And I'm thankful we got a place to come we don't have to dread to come to. And it's just a joy to be here. I love being around the people of God and the things of God, and you know, this is what gives life purpose. And we'll deal with that in just a second. So look at Psalm 23 with me, and we'll continue on. So once again, we're looking at Psalm 23, and we're coming to the end, but we'll read the psalm again. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And we get to verse 5. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Hey. And so we've been looking down here in verse number 5, and we've seen the Lord's preparation and his provision in the table there. And we finished up last week with the presence of the enemy. But as we continue on through this verse, I want you to notice it says, the next line says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." And I'll be honest with you, I've probably struggled as much as I've ever struggled trying to make sure that I had what the Lord wanted me to say. I've heard lots of people over the years say different things about this passage. But I'll just tell you what God's laid on my heart, and we'll just try to move forward. But when I read that phrase, "Thou anointest my head with oil," you know, my mind automatically goes to, well, Kevin, what's it even mean to have the anointing upon you? And what's he trying to say? You know, I've heard people say that, you know, this is talking about sheep that get hurt and get injured and they rub them down with oil and ointment. But what I find in Scripture up to this point, I don't see any sign of that. And so what that tells me is I don't believe, Kevin, that that's what this passage is talking about. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that I don't see that. But every time I look up the word anointing up to this point in Scripture, it carries basically one main connotation. One main theme, and what that is that word anoint means to hallow. Yes. It means to consecrate for specifically a spiritual purpose. And throughout the Old Testament, Dustin, I mean, what you find is that, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself already, but what you'll find is that there are three types of people that get anointed. And they're prophets, and they're priests, and they're kings.
That's right.
That's the three types of people.
Thank God.
But then the other things that you find being anointed in the Old Testament are the articles that are used in the worship of the Lord. And so every time you find that in Scripture, now understand there are times that you'll read the word anoint in your Bible, and what it's talking about is maybe to be anointed with spices or with myrrh. You know, there's different things that people would put on and anoint themselves to make themselves smell better, to feel clean. But that's not what this is talking about here. This is talking about specifically an anointing of consecration, anointing of hallowing, a purposeful anointing. And that's the point that I want to make today. So the fourth thing we see in this verse is that what David finds when he looks at his shepherd, he says, "I find in you my very purpose." And, you know, as I thought on that, I began to think of myself, Kevin. And as I looked at my life And I try to take inventory of the things that are in it. What I recognize is that outside of my shepherd, I have no purpose.
You're right, brother. That's
and so if you're here today and you are saved, guess where you find your purpose?
Yes.
You find it only in the shepherd. And apart from him, guess how much purpose you have? You have zero. And I'd hate to know that I lived my whole life and never found purpose.
Go ahead.
But if you ever find purpose, you'll only find it in Christ. Now, there's a lot of people that's living in this life for all kinds of different things. And they're living for their pleasure, and they're living for their family, and they're living for money. But Brother Cliff, there's going to be a day they're going to find that every bit of that was all in vain.
That's right.
It was all in vain. The only way that you can find lasting purpose is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we find here is when we see that the shepherd anoints David, what David's saying is, Lord, you notice he says, Thou anointest my head. He said, Lord, you gave me purpose.
Hey.
You gave me purpose. And so I want you to understand one good thing about this is that we all, through the whole passage, we can relate to everything pretty much that he's saying. And so what I'm here to tell you today is, if you're here today and you think, man, I don't have any purpose. If you're a sheep, you have purpose.
That's right.
And I'm so very thankful to know that all of us have a purpose in the Lord Jesus. Now, my purpose might be slightly different than yours. Brother Joe, yours might be slightly different than mine. But we all have one general purpose. It's real simple. It's real simple. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Faith.
Ephesians 1:11-12 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ.
Right.
Philippians 1:19-21 says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death.
That's right.
So when you are looking for purpose, you find it only in one place. And it is literally in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to live for Him, glorify Him, honor Him, magnify Him. And if you're doing anything apart from Him, it's without purpose.
Right.
Because the whole duty of man is to fear God, keep His commandments, do what He wants you to do. Now the question is, how much time do we spend doing what we're supposed to do versus the purpose that we want?
Right.
And that's a scary question. Because one of these days, Dustin, we're going to stand before God. And the Bible says we're going to give an account. The deeds done in this body. And what's going to come out, Kevin, is what the purpose was that you lived for.
That's right.
And what the purpose was that I lived for. And that's a scary thing. But every one of us here that's born again has purpose. And you say, well, I've never thought of myself as anointed. I've never thought of myself as having a purpose, a spiritual purpose, something that I'm specifically to do for the Lord. Does He really have something in mind for me? How many of you would say, I am anointed? Now, we don't think of ourselves that way, do we? Most of us think of the anointing is for the elite. It's for only special people. It's only for those prophets, priests, kings. Hey, in myself, what am I? None of those. In myself. Just letting you think about all this for a little bit. But so, is it only for them? Does God's anointing only apply to certain few individuals? Man, everybody's looking at me like, I don't know where he's going with this. I mean, the Bible's clear about this. There's clear answers to these things.
Yes, sir.
But you know, I mean, there's people, you got to understand, Sean, there's people in the world that would claim that they are anointed. But now I look at them based on what I see in the Scripture, and I'd say, no, you are not anointed based on this book.
Right.
But then now there's some people that would probably tell you they're not anointed, that's probably full of anointing. They just don't know they are.
You better believe it.
Now, I'm not saying they don't know they're saved. I'm telling you that we don't understand what we have. That's what I'm getting at. And the purpose that God has given each and every one of us. And so according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, if you are born again, if you have ever been saved, the Bible says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us, or and hath anointed us, is God, who also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts.
That's right.
So if you have the Spirit and you've been sealed with the Spirit of God in your heart, guess what you are?
Mm-hmm.
You're anointed.
Right.
Who gave the anointing? It says God did. So every one of you in here that's born again, guess what?
Yep.
You are anointed of God. And I don't say that because I think that or because you live that way. I don't say that because any of us acts that way. I say it because the Bible says so. You're anointed of God. 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Hey.
So, every believer here today is anointed of God. That makes you special. That makes you purposeful in the sight of God. So I'd hate for any life that has been anointed of God to be lived and never achieve the purpose that God has given it.
That's right.
And so every one of us today has a purpose. And our ultimate purpose, Chris, is to glorify Him. But the thing is, we've got point A where we're at when we're born again. And Kevin, we talked about the glory of the Lord just the other day. And there's a point B where we know we're going to perfectly glorify Him. But man, there's a span there in between.
Yes.
That it's up to you and I to make sure that we are doing everything we can to fulfill the purpose that He has given us based on His anointing. I don't want to be like Saul, who received the Lord's anointing. If you read your Bible, you know how many times that David said he would not lay his hand against the Lord's anointed.
Right.
God said, I want Saul to be king. But Saul squandered his anointing. He wasted it. And the purpose that he had been given was lost. And it was taken, Dustin. And it was given to somebody else. I'm saying his purpose was taken.
That's right.
And it was given to somebody else. I do not want to stand before God one day and know that He had a purpose for me. And because I refused to do the purpose that He had called me to do, He'd take that thing and give it to somebody else. Don't sound good, does it? And I'm not meaning for any of this to be heavy, but it is serious. It's very serious. And so as I've already said, in the Old Testament, we find all these things that are anointed. We find the priestly garments. We find the articles that were in the tabernacle. They were all anointed. I mean, there were specifics around how to even make that anointing oil. I mean, it was everything was established, and it had to be just right. And those people who were going to be prophets and priests, man, they had to be anointed. They had to be consecrated. They had to be set aside. Or else they could not fulfill the purpose that God had given them to fulfill. It was a symbol. It wasn't the fact that the oil itself did anything. But it was a symbol. It was a depiction that they were obeying and willing to follow the purpose and the directives that God had given them. And if they did not follow it, they would not have the blessing on them.
You're right.
And so we just got to be careful today. And as we think about the anointing and all those in Scripture, I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, that we find that have an anointing upon them, There's only one person that fits every mold that you find. As prophet, priest, king.
Yep.
And is perfect in every way. And I think everybody here knows who that is. The real anointed one, the Lord's anointed, is the Lord Jesus Himself.
Oh, yeah.
And Luke 4. Chapter 4, verse 16, if you want to read it with me. Luke 4, 16, down through verse 21, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." And I thank the Lord that we learned something about the Lord Jesus right there. He says, as his custom was. You know where Jesus went? He went to the house of the Lord. And so people that tell you that it's not important say, well, ain't we supposed to be like Jesus? Now, if they say no to that, they're just a heretic.
Right.
But if they say yes, you can say, well, if we're supposed to be like him, I think we ought to do what he did, don't you? And he had a custom. And that custom was he went to the house of the Lord.
That's right.
That's just extra. It says, "And stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written," which is Isaiah 61, if you want to know. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." You know what he told them right there? He said, "I'm the one. I'm the one." You see, as the anointed one, did you notice how many purposes it listed there that he had?
Yes, sir.
You see, anointing does not come without purpose. God don't anoint people for nothing. And if you're born again, I've already shown you from the scriptures, you are anointed. So that comes with purpose. You have a purpose to fulfill, just as Christ had a purpose to fulfill. So Acts 10:38 says it this way, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth," this is Peter preaching there to Cornelius, "with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so what we find here is that it wasn't that Jesus was anointed with oil, but here what we find it says he was anointed with was what? The Holy Ghost. It says, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Guess what we get anointed with today?
Sure, brother.
Now, we call for the elders of the church. If somebody's sick among us, according to James chapter 5, we anoint their head with oil.
Yep.
Right? We believe that. But now, as far as my anointing in the Lord and my purpose, that comes through the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Hey.
And we get real uncomfortable when we start talking words like anointing of the Holy Ghost, don't we? Because we see so much nonsense today. We see so many people, this charismatic movement. We see people reaching out and touching folks and they fall to the ground. You don't find that in Scripture. You find people anointed in the Scripture by the Holy Ghost, when they touch somebody, they get up. We find when Jesus touched people, he healed their diseases. What about the Gadarene? The Gadarene maniac there. What happened to him when Jesus came by? They found him clothed and in his right mind. Folks, what we see today is a bunch of nonsense.
Yes, sir.
But the real anointing of the Holy Ghost has a purpose behind it. And it does not bring confusion. God is not the author of confusion. And so you see this stuff and it confuses you. And you think, I don't seem right. Well, guess what? Probably ain't. And you can try the spirits according to the Scripture. And if you've been anointed, you've received the seal of the Holy Ghost down on the inside. And so that one that's in you bears witness with the real spirit, his spirit, that you're his. And then because you've got a spirit and you're yoked up with his spirit, you can try all the other spirits and you can figure out if they're right or not.
Go ahead.
And I've been in plenty of places in my life, plenty of churches, where Kevin, maybe seemingly things were going good for a while. And then one little thing happens. And it's like immediately the Holy Ghost was just grieved. And you knew everything was good to that point. But just immediately, it can be a word. It can be an action. It can be the way that somebody portrays themselves. We've had it here where somebody spoke out of place sitting in the back. Started doing some gibberish one time. Folks, it happens and immediately there's flags thrown up.
Sure. Right.
And if you've ever been born again and you've been in this thing for any time at all, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord lets you know because you're anointed, you're filled with, you should be indwelled with the Holy Ghost. We should be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hey.
But we are at least indwelled with Him. And because of that, we've got these benefits. We're special. You better believe you're special in the eyes of God. And not because of anything you've done. But because of that, there's these benefits. And I'm not here saying that any of us have special powers, okay? I'm not saying that. But the one that's in us does.
Hey.
The Holy Ghost, He's special. He's the third person of the Godhead. And He's dwelling on the inside. And He can distinguish. He can discern between the spirits. He knows what's right and He knows what's wrong. And if He's living on the inside of you, He'll let you know what's right and what's not. And all of this is lumped into this together. It's amazing when you read your Bible and you find out all these different things. We talk about, the anointing and the seal of the Spirit, and we talk about justification, and we talk about sanctification, and we talk about salvation. Dustin, it's all just...
Oh, yes.
It's all meshed together so perfectly that we can't make it up. But the reason these people can go and I don't want to be super critical, but I want to be right. And I want our people to know right. The reason people can go, Brother Jerry, and be in church services and do the nonsense that they do and think it's okay and think it's good is by far because I think they've got the wrong thing down on the inside. And I don't want to be critical. I'm not saying that all these other denominations are not right with the Lord. I believe there's people in all kinds of different denominations that are born again.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is there's something on the inside of them, if they are, that can let them know when things are not right. And the last time I checked, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, when you're anointed, when you're indwelled with that Holy Ghost, when you're sealed with it, as it said right here, what it does, he said he'd guide you to all truth.
Absolutely.
And I hope you believe your Bible. Because I do. That's the only thing I have to base my faith on, to base my life on, is what he said. And so I just believe if somebody stays in that nonsense and does not move to the right, then that tells me something is wrong about what they have received. You say, man, you're super critical. No, I believe this book.
Hey.
And the older I get, I guess maybe the harder lined I get on it. And I just understand that not everybody that says that they're right is right.
You're right.
And the truth about it is, Nathaniel, there's a lot of people that say they're right, and you know what they think about me? They think I'm wrong. And does that bother me? At times, maybe. I ain't going to stand up here and say that it never bothered me that somebody told me I was wrong. I've been told I was wrong a lot. I'm a little outspoken at times. And so because of that, sometimes people say, well, that ain't right. And when they say that, you know what I do? And what it makes me do?
Yes, sir.
Makes me go to my Bible.
Hey.
And say, well, if I ain't right, I want to be right.
Right.
And so there's times that I've prayed, and I've said, Lord, if the independent Baptist doctrine is wrong, get me out of it. Is that a bad prayer, Brother Kevin?
No, sir.
I told my wife yesterday, she makes fun of me sometimes, rightly so, because Jerry, I've got a desire on the inside. I want to do right. And she's not making fun of me because I got a desire to do right. Don't understand. But to the point where it drives me crazy sometimes. You say, well, why is that? Man, I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside, and it makes me want to do right.
Hey.
And if I see somebody that needs help, guess what I want to do? I want to help them. And I'm getting way off track here, but I think that's just part of knowing the Lord. And understanding what he's done for us and just loving people. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to do all that. It's Kevin, what gets wrong with it is when it starts consuming us.
Yep.
And overtakes us to where it steals our joy.
Yes, sir.
And we start focusing on everything else and everybody else and all the things that we're supposed to do and all of our commitments. And we want to make sure that we meet this commitment, and we meet this commitment, and we do this, and we're this for this person, and we're this for this person, to where we lose track of the one who anointed us and gave us our purpose. I finally got back to where I was supposed to be. But our main purpose, we just got to remember, is to glorify and honor the Lord.
That's right.
And we just got to be careful how that we conduct ourselves in that. But still yet, probably on a daily basis, I still, Brother Rick, I still feel like I don't deserve what God has given me. And so I can't help sometimes, Nathaniel, but doubt. Lord, do I really have the benefits that you've told me that I have? And I have to just go back to Scripture and say, well, Lord, you said it. So I just have to believe it. I just don't always know how to apply it. And we can't ever boast in it, because none of those benefits, nothing that we've received, our the anointing, the purpose on our lives, the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside, none of that is based on what we deserve. And I'm afraid the world, you know, what the world sees is a bunch of people on TV that act like they have what they have because they deserve it. And the truth is, any of us that really have it understand where it came from. And that we don't deserve any of it. And I guess that's what's so good about it, is that I see all these benefits and I think, Lord, I don't deserve any of this. Why do you show me such grace? Why do you not just consume me? Why am I not dead today? Why did I not lift my eyes in hell this morning?
Right.
And as I said last week, or the week before, whenever, I just don't have the answer. I don't know why that he demonstrates his grace to us or his mercy. I don't know why, but I'm thankful that he does. But in ourselves, there's no quality. There's no attribute. There's nothing in me, or you for that matter, that would make God want to anoint any of us.
You're right.
It's not in us. The only reason that we ever find that as children of God that we get anointed, it all goes back to Christ.
Absolutely.
And if at any time in our lives we think that our benefits are based on what we've done, then they're going to be useless to us. But as long as we understand that all of our purpose and all of the benefits that we receive because of his anointing, as long as we remember that it's because of him, it's just untelling what we can do. Because we have a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify him. And so when you start thinking about it and you understand that my whole purpose in life is to glorify him, and you find yourself trying to get yourself in a place where you can glorify him, guess what he'll let you do?
Absolutely.
He'll let your life glorify him.
Yep.
He will, I promise, let you glorify him, because it's his will. Yep. That's his purpose. That's the reason he's anointed you. He's given you that purpose. But now, here's the thing. He gives us a purpose, but because it's his purpose and it's his anointing, he makes the rules. You and I don't make them.
Right.
And so God wants to get glory and honor out of every one of us. However, all of us don't have the right attitude about it.
Go ahead.
Because you say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, how many of you, going back to what Paul said, he was in jail. How many of us, I'm going to read that again. Paul said, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Man, that sounds real good. I like it. Up to that point, man, I know this is going to turn to my salvation. I know that Christ is going to be magnified in my body. That sounds like he's meeting his purpose, don't it? Paul did meet his purpose. We all understand that. But it doesn't end there. It says, Christ shall be magnified in my body. But then he puts this phrase on there, Kevin.
That's it.
He says, whether it be by life or by death.
That's right.
That's the part we don't like, ain't it?
Yep.
The question is, are we willing to fulfill our purpose if our purpose is death? I don't know that I can answer that today. I'd like to think I'm super spiritual and that I'm so full of the Holy Ghost that I'm willing to just die for the Lord. He died for me. But I don't know. How many of you in here know? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you can say, for I am now ready to be offered? The time of my departure is at hand. How many of you could say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Well, I've finished this race. Henceforth, there's laid up me a crown of righteousness. Whew. Gets heavy, don't it? When we think of being anointed, it's real good. I'm glad. And we're going to get to some benefits of being anointed before long. But just understand that with much liberty, with much benefit, with so many freedoms, comes lots of responsibility.
That's right.
I mean, you think about it, Brother Eric, as our kids get older and we give them more and more freedom, right, to a degree, we let them. We give them a car. We let them go out and drive on their own. But all of a sudden, they've got this blessing. But with that comes a huge responsibility. No longer are they dependent, Brother Kyle, on daddy and mommy and their protection. But now, what are they going to do with what they've been given? So we've received this great, great benefit. Being anointed of the Holy Ghost. God has literally his hand upon every one of us that are born again. But with that comes such great responsibility.
Yes, sir.
And the last time I checked, the Bible still does say to whom much is given, much should be required. And so, just to understand that, Jesse, we're blessed with what we have. And I've not even talked about really all the benefits of it yet. But I think most of us understand that we benefit greatly from being his child, from the Spirit, from his anointing on our lives. But we tend to forget what responsibility that brings. Brother Kevin, you said it the other night, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, what? Depart from iniquity. That's a responsibility that we have. We're to be different. And it's not always easy. But we don't have any of this based on, as I said, our merit, anything that we did. Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we are nothing on our own. But it says that he hath made us kings and priests. How many of you feel like a king today? How many of you feel like a priest? According to Scripture, we are. Folks, I can go straight to God. I have a direct line through the mediator, the man Christ Jesus.
Sir. Praise God.
That's what makes me a priest. I can get straight to him.
Hey.
No barriers.
No, sir.
Nothing. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, we have that promise.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible says in the book of Romans that the Spirit maketh the intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Folks, we're a high priest. We're priests, and he's a faithful high priest. We have the ability. With that comes great responsibility. We're kings and priests. What a benefit that we have. But it can also be heavy. And we've got to be careful how we use the grace of God in our lives. But it sounds like our time's up, but we've just got to remember that nothing of this that we're going to talk about, and I just got started, this was just the introduction, but all of this that we're going to talk about in the benefits of being anointed of God, it's not based on any of our merit. It's all because of Him. And so I appreciate your good attention. We'll carry on, and we'll specifically look at the anointing of David, hopefully next week, Lord willing. So we'll have prayer for whoever wants to pray back through there in the room. So appreciate your good attention.